Hare Krishna, our very great fortune once again to hear His Grace Vamsi Vadan Prabhu in Sri Dham Mayapur addressing to Bhakti Shastri devotees on 24th of December 2013 in Sri Dham Mayapur addressing on Bhagavad Gita Chapter 7. Hare Krishna.
So before we begin with today's class, we would like to briefly revise what we have done yesterday. So somebody would like to just revise a few important points from yesterday's class. Somebody can just pass on the other microphone to whoever is. Yes, Abhishan from you.
Everything is Krishna and at the same time not Krishna.
Okay, good statement. Everything is Krishna and at the same time everything is not Krishna. Would you like to give a small purport to that?
Purport? No. I don't remember Srila Prabhupada's purport in my heart.
But your understanding.
As far as I know, it's connected to the verse Achintya Veda Veda Tattva.
Okay.
So, Krishna is in his original form as Adi Purush.
Yes.
He's separate from everything, but at the same time, everything comes from him.
Yes. Okay. That's good. Thank
He's
you.
The cause of everything.
Fine. Somebody would like to expand a little bit on that because that was the important theme that we were discussing yesterday. Somebody would like to expand a little more on that. Yes, Neva. Yes, Aditya.
This is what Abhay was saying. The cause. The Lord and the key essence of everything, He is that essence of that particular any object that you take. For example, water was taken, and then the key essence of that is the taste.
Yes.
So He's the cause of the water,
yes.
And He's the effect which quenches the thirst. That effect is also the Lord.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, that was the essential theme that Krishna is discussing from the 8th to the 12th verses, and that is He is the cause. As well as He is the effect. The effect is present by His energies, but ultimately Krishna is both. He is the cause as well as the effect. That was the important theme that we discussed. And so, by that understanding, we can relate everything to Krishna. And therefore we had that exercise whereby we discussed how whatever we see around, we can actually relate that to Krishna consciousness, and Srila Prabhupada showed that through his own life. Okay. Some other important points? Yes, Anuman.
The last verse of the 6th chapter shows the connection. It is the seed that expands into the middle 6 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
And that shows the connection between the two.
Okay.
So you explained
in the beginning. Okay, fine, thank you. Yeah, maybe one or two more points? Yes, true.
Yeah, you said that Krishna saying in Bhagavad Gita, unless you hear from Krishna himself or his pure devotee,
yes.
You can't even understand Krishna.
Yes, thank you. So we discussed about the importance of hearing. That was the first verse. Krishna is saying, Mai Asakta Manapata. One can come up to the stage of Asakti and beyond, up to the level of Prema, simply by the process of hearing. Any other key points? Yes, Mike.
Krishna, you mentioned how karma and jnana without a tinge of bhakti can never be successful.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So for every process, ultimately whether it's karma, jnana or yoga, the practice, some tinge of bhakti is essential for perfection. Without that bhakti, no process can gain perfection, and that's the superiority of bhakti over everything else. Okay, fine. So I think from that point on we can proceed ahead to the next section. Before we go to this lesson, there are two verses which were remaining sort of from yesterday's lesson which we would like to complete. So we are on text 13. I'm just reading the translation of text 13. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, the whole world does not know me who am above the modes and inexhaustible. So before Krishna actually begins to explain his own glories, Krishna is speaking about the cause of the bewilderment of the living entity in this material world. And the essential cause of that bewilderment of the living entity in this material world is the three modes. Okay? And so, influenced by the three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, all the living entities, they do not understand the Supreme Lord because of the influence of the modes. As Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, in the beginning of the second paragraph, Prabhupada is writing, every living entity under the influence of material nature has a particular type of body and a particular type of psychological and biological activities accordingly. And that forms the whole basis of the Varnashram system, where every living entity has a different psychophysical nature, and that's the reason why everyone has different propensities, and accordingly there are the four Varnas and the four Ashramas. And in the second paragraph, Prabhupada is writing, I am reading about four lines down, those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, and even those who are in the mode of goodness, cannot go beyond the impersonal Brahman conception of the Absolute Truth. They are bewildered before the Supreme Lord in His personal feature, which possesses all beauty, opulence, knowledge, strength, fame and renunciation. When even those who are in goodness cannot understand, what hope is there for those in passion and ignorance? Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all these three modes of material nature, and those who are truly established in Krishna consciousness are actually liberated. So Prabhupada is writing, even those who are in the mode of goodness can at the most come to the understanding of the impersonal Brahman feature. Even those who are in the mode of goodness, it may be very difficult for them to understand the personal feature of the Lord. So saying, if it's difficult for even those who are in mode of goodness, then what to speak of those who are in passion and ignorance? Definitely it's very difficult. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada often said, one has to rise at least to the mode of goodness. Because then the mode of goodness acts like a stepping platform from which one can ultimately come to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, on which pure devotional service is situated. Okay? So for one in the lower modes, definitely it's very difficult to understand the Supreme Lord. Therefore, all the Shastras continuously remind us again and again how important it is for one to make an attempt to at least come to the level of the mode of goodness. Okay? And then in the 14th verse, a very important and relevant verse, let's recite.
Devi esha runamani mama maya durasyaya mame vahe prapadyante maya metam darantite.
This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Okay? So here, Krishna is explaining that how, so in the previous verse he said how all living entities practically are under the influence of the modes. And here he is giving us the solution, how one can come out of that influence of the modes in order to understand him. So here, first of all he is describing the nature of the material energy. Devi esha gunamayi mama maya durasyaya. So the word devi indicates, Vishnu Chakravarti in his commentary, he says the word devi means those who like to sport in enjoyment. The word devi means those who like to sport in enjoyment. So the word devi comes from the word deva, right? The devas like to enjoy. They're there in the heavenly planets, essentially for that. So, but in this context, the word devi refers to the jivas, who basically have come into this material world to enjoy. That's the purpose, why the jivas have come into this world, to enjoy. And so one meaning of the word devi is, it is referring to the living entities. Okay, that's one meaning given by Vishnu Acharya Thakur. So the living entities, they are bewildered, they are influenced by this material energy. Okay, that's one understanding. Now Srila Prabhupada in his purport gives another understanding of the meaning of the word devi. Right in the beginning of his purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. although the living entities are part of his energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Okay, so here the other meaning of the word Devi means divine energy. I think sometimes in the word to word meaning, Prabhupada translates Devi as transcendental. Why it is transcendental? Why is Prabhupada translating the word Devi as transcendental?
Comes from Krishna?
Yes, because essentially yes, because it comes from Krishna. This energy, even the external energy, comes from Krishna. Yesterday we discussed about this example of the electrician, both the heat and the cold. So, the external energy also comes from Krishna and therefore is called as divine. So that's the other meaning of the word Devi. So this external energy Krishna is saying, which is my energy, Mama Maya Duratriya. This external energy of mine, my Maya, is Durasteya. So the word Atteya means to overcome. Durasteya means difficult to overcome. So Krishna is saying this external energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. Now, yesterday we were discussing about Apara Prakriti and Para Prakriti. Somebody could just briefly tell us what is that? Apara Prakriti and Para Prakriti.
Superior and inferior. Para and Apara Prakriti, superior and inferior
yes.
energy.
Yes.
Para is Jiva and Apara is material energy.
Okay, thank you. So, the superior energy is the living entity, right? And the inferior energy, Apara Prakriti, is material energy. And yesterday we discussed why the living entity is called superior. Somebody remembers that?
Manipulation.
Yeah, that's the main reason, yes. What manipulation?
Inferior energy can manipulate the inferior energy.
Can you give some example?
Yeah,
right. So basically the living entity is called superior because the living entity is able to manipulate the inferior energy. Right? That's why it's called superior. The living entity is called superior. Then here, Krishna is saying, my Maya, that is this external energy, the material energy, is very difficult to overcome. Is this a sort of contradiction?
She is superior.
Because yesterday we said the living entity is superior. But in this verse says that the external energy is superior. Say that?
When the context is different, living entity can manipulate the inferior energy.
Okay.
But it is constantly entangled in those activities, constantly manipulating, so it forgets its original identity. So that is why it is difficult to overcome.
Okay, good understanding.
Come out of that
manipulation. Okay, good understanding. Something you'd like to add to this?
Prabhupada always says that the Jiva is the same in quality with Krishna, but the quality is very...
Okay, that's comparison between Jiva and the Lord, right? But what about the material energy? Your point is correct, definitely.
In his explanation of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Prabhupada is saying that Jiva is trying to enjoy and control the material energy, comes under the influence of her Lord. And like her Lord, she is bewildered.
Yes, very right, very true. Yes, that's perfect answer. Somebody would like to explain a little more. How would we reconcile both of these? Yes, but what Prabhupada said was perfect, that is, when one is when one is trying to enjoy the external energy, then one becomes entangled in that external energy. But at the same time, yesterday we said that the living entity is superior to the material energy. So how do we reconcile both these facts? Okay, Eklav.
Perhaps in different categories of external energy is aprayami tasvanyam prakritim devi me pram jivam tamaha bahum yamidam dhayate jivat, that the living entity, he's superior, he's part of the superior energy, and he's able to dhayate, he's able to manipulate the material energy. However, in this verse, Devi Shukunamaya Mamamaya Jaratiya, Krishna is saying, this is my energy, Mamamaya, and this energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. So by this, we can perhaps understand that of the material energy, there are different varieties. Some of the living entity, Dayate Jagat, is in control, but some energy, Malamaya Dharatiya, it's very difficult to control. And of course it's all Krishna's energy. Malamaya, it's Mama Prakriti also. All energy is Krishna's energy.
Yes.
But we can perhaps say that of all of Krishna's material energies, Prakriti, this Malamaya is very difficult to control because it's that's her service. Maya's service is to bewilder the living entity, so she's in a special category.
Okay, fine. Yes, bro, we'll take one last comment. Yeah.
Because of the false ego, we are power of the material energy.
Because of?
False ego.
False ego.
Yeah.
Okay. Because of false ego, what happens?
We give our energy to the material energy. We amplify our material energy.
Okay, fine.
Can you say it's like a daydream? Like, when you're daydreaming, you think it's just some confusion. When you're daydreaming, the person who's daydreaming is superior to the experience he's having. But because he's confused, he's taken on the influence of the daydream.
Okay. A little confusing, huh? Actually it's quite simple to understand. Yesterday we were speaking about, Krishna speaking about the five elements, right? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Okay? So the living entity can manipulate, that's what Krishna says. The living entity is superior because the living entity can manipulate material energy. Right? This is what?
Dead matter.
This is dead matter, right? This is dead matter, but what it is?
It's a table.
It's table, no doubt. But it is made up of what?
Wood.
Wood comes from where?
Tree.
Where does a tree gets its yes, basically the earth. Okay? So this is coming from earth. That is external material energy. Right? So as far as this is concerned, I can manipulate this. See, I'm hitting this table. Is the table responding? No, right? But if I try to hit someone, see, there's a reaction there. Why? Yes, this is insentient. He is a sentient being, right? But even though this is insentient, this is external material energy. But this external material energy has a presiding deity. Who's that? Yes, Durga Devi or Maya Devi. And as we are trying to manipulate this external material energy, she makes us forget that this is meant for Krishna's pleasure and puts us into illusion to think that this is for
my pleasure.
Right? So, on one hand, yes, because this is dead matter, I can manipulate it. So I can manipulate everything. But Maya Devi, who is in control of the external energy, is making us forget. As we are manipulating all these things around, what is Maya Devi doing?
Making us forget.
Yes, she is making us forget that it is for Krishna's pleasure, and she's putting us into illusion to think that it is for my pleasure. That is how Maya Devi, who is controlling material energy, is bewildering the living entities. Right? So though we are able to manipulate the external energy, but the presiding deity of the external energy, that's Maya Devi, is putting us into illusion. And this Maya Devi is the external energy of the Lord. And therefore, even though the living entities are called superior, they are Tatastha Shakti. Right? Even though they are superior, in the classification of energies, they are called Tatastha Shakti. Why they are called Tatastha Shakti? Somebody can say? Yes, sir.
Because they can identify
the Yes. Yeah, that's right. So because they have a choice, they can either take shelter of the external energy or the internal energy. So this is how, even though the living entity is able to manipulate the external energy, Maya Devi, who is the controller of Prakriti, who is the controller of the external energy, is putting the living entities into illusion. And as long as the living entity does not surrender to the Supreme Lord, Maya Devi puts the living entity into illusion to think that, oh, this is for my enjoyment. So is this concept clear? Yes, Nityananda.
Can there truly be external energy when it's all coming from Mahavishnu's dream, which is empowered by Krishna? So Krishna's energy has to be in that table in order for that table to actually be there.
Yes. So what's the question?
That's the question. Can there truly be external energy that's dead matter?
That's what Krishna himself is saying. See, okay. You're coming to more subtleties actually. So see, what Krishna has said is Bhumir Apo Nalo Vayu Kam Mano Buddhir Evacha Ankar Ityame Bhinna Prakritir Ashtada. This is my separated energy. Krishna himself is saying this is my separated energy. Why he is saying it is my separated energy? Because Krishna has allowed Maya Devi, the external energy, to act in this material world almost independently. He has empowered her and said, you function in the material world. So it's the external energy, because it's not directly connected to Krishna. So directly connected to Krishna is? Yes, the Antaranga Shakti, the spiritual world, where Krishna and his expansions are personally present, performing their pastimes. But this world, this material world, is jada jada. It's dead matter. It's, as we often say, it's like a prison. Durg. It's like a prison. Right? And just like a prison has a, what do you say, a jail keeper. So similarly, this material world, which is like a jail, has a jail keeper, as Prabhupada often explained. And that is Durga Devi. Okay? So, of course, taking your point into consideration, we very well accept that fact that, yes, andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. So in every atom of this table, there is the super soul present as Shirodakshana Vishnu. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport, even the stones have life. Right? So, we can say that There is soul and super soul in every atom of this table, but the consciousness is so much covered over that it is almost like dead matter. That's how we can explain that. Okay, fine.
Just a question about the terminology used earlier. We said modes of material nature, prakriti, and now we see the term maya. So is prakriti part of maya, or maya part of prakriti?
Prakriti, the material energy, is functioning through the three modes of material nature. Share Bhagavad Gita, right in the beginning of those photographs. Yeah, that's right. So you see this? Yeah. So you see Krishna is acting through the material energy. The material energy is acting on the living entities through the three modes. So the three modes are controlling the living entities. Prakrute kriyamanani gune karmani sarvashah. It's the three modes which are making the living entities act. Right? The three modes are making the living entities act in this material world. So they are the agents, we can say one of the agents through which the living entities are acting in this material world. Is it clear? Okay? So yes, this material world is basically made of prakriti, and Maya Devi, who is the controller of this prakriti, is acting on the living entities in this material world through the three modes. Yes, she is the controller of prakriti.
Okay.
She is the controller of prakriti, and she is controlling the living entities who are within prakriti through the three modes.
So, prakriti earlier we saw the sum total of all material elements. I try to understand myself, like, is it like a kitchen where there's all ingredients kept, like salt, sugar, all that. So now we have earth, water, fire, the sum total of all that is prakriti. And then the term used mahatattva. So mahatattva is like a big repository of all the elements, and
yes.
Is that the correct understanding?
At the beginning of creation, we know that if you take this as the so, between the material world and the spiritual world, there is the Viraja, which is also called as the causal ocean, where, whose line? Yes, Mahavishnu. And in a corner of the entire creation, in one corner, there is a cloud. This cloud is called Pradhan. The Pradhan is the conglomerate of all material elements in an inactive stage. Okay? The Pradhan is the conglomerate of all material elements in an inactive stage. It's just like, if you want to cook khichdi, what ingredients do you require?
Rice, dal and sabji.
Okay, rice, dal and sabji essentially. So you can put all of them in the vessel. Okay? So as long as they're sitting in the vessel, is anything going to happen?
They get wet.
Okay. Nothing more than that. So then what has to be done? Yes, you have to put on the fire. When you put on the fire, what happens? There's agitation. Right? If you notice, what happens is bubbles which start coming in the water and the whole thing becomes agitated. So similarly here, when Mahavishnu glances at Pradhan, then what happens? This becomes agitated. It starts cooking. And this agitated or the active Pradhan is called Mahatattva. After the glance of Mahavishnu, when this becomes active, then the same Pradhan is called as Mahatattva. And then, of course, we don't want to go into all the details of creation over here, but then, essentially from here, then, you know, it contains all the material elements, all earth, water, fire, everything is contained within this, and then from body of Mahavishnu, all the universes are coming. And then Mahavishnu also, so all the material ingredients, they are given to living entities and the creation takes place. So essentially, that's what's the difference between Pradhan and Mahatattva. And this entire material universe is controlled by this. So here, within the material universe, everything that you see within the material universe, within the material creation, is Prakriti. Right? So, all these material ingredients which are there here in the Mahatattva, they become a part of the entire material creation. And this material creation, which is comprising essentially of the material energy, is what is called as Prakriti. Okay? So that's some understanding of what's Pradhan, Mahatattva and Prakriti. Okay?
That energy bewilders, that is Maya.
Yes. So, the controller of this Prakriti in this material world, who is the, as we say, the jail? Prabhupada gave the example of the jail and the jail keeper. So, who is the jail keeper? Durga Devi or Maya Devi. She is the jail keeper. She is controlling this entire material creation. And the living entities who come into this material world, they are controlled by her. And she is bewildering the living entities to understand that I can manipulate all this Jat Prakriti, I can manipulate all this earth, water, fire, I can manipulate all this for my enjoyment. In fact, Krishna consciousness is just a change of consciousness. That's all. When that consciousness changes, all this is meant for my enjoyment, we just have to change that statement. All this is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. That's all. It's as simple as that. But we require for that small change to take place, we require the Supreme Lord to create this entire complicated material world and then send the sadhus, the shastras, the gurus, and it required Srila Prabhupada to create this international society for Krishna consciousness just for us to make that small change in that statement. Everything is not meant for my pleasure, but it is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Just to make that small change, Krishna and the Acharyas have to make so many arrangements in this material world. But essentially, Krishna consciousness is all about just changing consciousness. My lady puts us into the illusion to think that this is for my enjoyment, and we have to change that to think that everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. That's all. Yes, Raghu.
like that.
Okay. She wants to have no fun. That's the fact.
She is Krishna's servant, so why would she be like this?
Yes. She is Krishna's servant perfectly. And she is doing a perfect service. You know why? Because she wants Krishna to enjoy peacefully in the spiritual world. Yes, exactly. You got the point. The moment you disturb Krishna in his enjoyment, then you come here. The moment you give trouble to the state government, where do you land? In the jail. So it's exactly like that. The moment we put hindrances in Krishna's enjoyment in the spiritual world, the moment we think, Krishna, I have obeyed you since time immemorial, it's high time I do things on my own. Okay, Krishna says, I have created the material universe. Please go and try to do things on your own. Try that. So Mayadevi is doing a great service. She is purifying the living entities. She has two energies. Do you know which?
The covering energy and the throwing energy.
Yeah. The Aranatmika Shakti and the Prakshepatmika Shakti. Avaranatmika and Prakshepatmika. So Avaranatmika Shakti, as the name indicates, Avaran means cover. So she covers the living entities. What is the covering? Illusion. That's right. She puts them into the illusion to think that I am the enjoyer. Everything is meant for my enjoyment. She puts everyone into that illusion. And then the living entity, when he's in that illusion, thinking I can enjoy. So she says, okay, come on, try and enjoy. And then when the living entity tries to enjoy against the will of the Supreme Lord, then she kicks. She puts the living entities into the threefold miseries of material. That's the Prakshepatmika Shakti. Prabhupada called it the kicking potency. Right. So Mayadevi's great service is to not allow unpurified living entities to go to the spiritual world and create trouble for Krishna. So she makes sure that the living entities are thoroughly, totally purified in this material world before they go to the spiritual world. So that's her service. Just like the jailkeeper. The jailkeeper will allow the prisoners outside the prison only when? Yes, only when they're totally reformed. So similarly, the whole material civilization, the whole material world is a place of reformation. Yes, Prabhu.
Are there any stories about Mayadevi allowing someone to go be with Krishna and it was a mistake? And Krishna had to send them back personally? Are there stories like that?
No mistakes. Because, why there are no mistakes? Because she is not working independently. She is also under superior control. Who's that? Krishna. Krishna is controlling her. She is not independent. And she is the perfect servant of Krishna. So she doesn't make any mistakes. Right? Okay, we want to close this discussion, but we'll just take a few maybe. Who raised hands now? Okay, one, two. Good.
Is Mayadevi
and? Oh, exactly the opposite. Mayadevi is the external energy and Subhadra is the internal energy, the internal potency. Okay? And of course, ultimately, everything comes from Srimati Radharani. So she is the personification, she is the representation of the internal potency, Subhadra is her expansion. Okay? Yes?
What is the relation with
ignorance
and illusion? Does ignorance come from illusion or illusion from ignorance?
Everything comes from ignorance, avidya. Avidya is the root cause, from that there's illusion. I guess you had something. Raising
hand? Yeah. Are there any personalities behind the three modes, like separated for each of the modes?
Mm-hmm. There could be, as Prabhupada is showing in that picture, but I don't know whether there are any names for them. But we can understand that they are all agents of Maya Devi.
They are tridents of Devi, Maya Devi.
Okay, the trident, the trishul of Maya Devi is a representation of actually the threefold miseries. Yeah. The threefold misery trishul is used to sort of push the living entities from behind.
Is that the kicking potency?
Yes, that's right, the kicking potency, yes. So she's kicking from behind, the trishul also represents that. Go towards Krishna, go towards Krishna, go towards Krishna. That's one. Okay, one last question.
I'm just wondering, how is these three modes related to this Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva? Are they somehow related or not?
Brahma is controlling the mode of passion, Shiva is controlling the mode of ignorance, and Vishnu is the controller of the mode of goodness.
So they are personality defined.
Yeah, we can say that these three are. But whether they exactly perform that function, they are definitely controlling these three modes within this material world. But of course we cannot say that they are not acting within this material world as agents of Maya Devi, but they are, we can say, personifications of that particular mode. Not exactly personification, no, personification is surely not the right word. We can say presiding deity, I think that's a better word, a presiding deity of that mode. So, but surely Maya Devi is not using them to control the living entities in this material world. She is, of course, having her own agents to do that. Okay? Okay, fine. Okay, that's enough discussion on that. And so, Devi Eshu Gunamayi, Prabhupada also explains, Guna also means rope. Right? So, just like there are ropes, and if the three ropes which are intertwined, it becomes a thick rope which is very difficult to cut, and so therefore crossing over these three modes is definitely very difficult, but Krishna is giving us the solution, and that is mam eva ye prapadyante. So Krishna, Vishwanatha Thakur in his commentary says that Krishna is putting his finger to his chest and very emphatically declaring, you only surrender to me, no one else. Mam eva. Eva means only. Only me. You surrender only to me. Not Brahma, not Shiva, not Vishnu, no one else. Just surrender to me. And what I will do? Maya etam. Then I'll take you across the influence of this material energy, which is very difficult to cross. So just to speak something on surrender. What are the six items of surrender? Okay. One is avashya rakshibe Krishna. What else? Yes. Anukulyasya sankalpa. Then what else? Pratikulyasya Varjanam. What does that mean?
Rejecting unfavorable.
Yes, rejecting what is unfavorable. What else? There's six items. Yes,
Adhikar.
Okay. That's Karpanya. Humility. And two more?
Self-surrender.
Yes, that's Atmanikshepa. And one more? That's already there. Actually it's Rakshashiti Iti Vishwasa. That's the same thing. Yes, Gopritve Varnam. Go. Yes. Anukulyasya Sankalpa means accepting what is favorable. And usually what is spoken of in this regard is, you know, the six items which are favorable for devotional service, nectar of instruction. What are they? Six items favorable for devotion. Yes, Utsaha, Nishcha, Dairya, Tat Sat Karma Pravartana, Sangha Tyaga, Tato Vritte, Charbir Bhakti Prasiddhyati. Right? So what is Utsaha?
Enthusiasm.
Nishcha? Confidence. Dairya? Patience. Tat Sat Karma Pravartana? Following rules and regulations of devotional service, which indicates the small items of devotional service. Then, Sangha Tyaga. Yes, the morning association of non-devotees. And Chaturvritti is following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. That is Anukulyasya Sankalpa. Pratikulyasya Varjanam, avoiding what is unfavorable. What are they? Yes, what is that? Atyahara Prayasasya Prajalpo Niyamagraha Jana Sangasya Laulyam Cha Shadvir Bhakti Vinashyati. Atyahara means?
Overeating
and collecting more than necessary. Prajalpa?
Speaking
nonsense, mundane things. Prayas? Overeating for mundane things. Then Niyamagraha?
Being overly attached to the rules and regulations and not enough attached to the rules and regulations.
Yeah, either being following the rules simply for the sake of following and not for spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules. Then what's next? That is Sangha Tyaga. No, sorry. Jana Sangha. Jana Sangha is associating with worldly minded people and Lauliyam. That's material greed. Because the only ticket to go back to the spiritual world is also Lauliyam. Right, but this is referring to Meti. Okay, Avashya Rakshishyati, actually this is Rakshishyati Iti Vishwaso. Rakshishyati Iti Vishwaso. That means having full faith that Krishna will protect. Okay, Rakshishyati Iti Vishwaso. So Gopritve Varnam is Krishna will maintain. Krishna is the maintainer. Having faith in that, Krishna will definitely maintain. Atmanikshepa is self-surrender and Karpanyam is humility. These are the six items of surrender. That is what comprises surrender. So by this surrendering process to the Supreme Lord, then Krishna will take the living entity back to the spiritual world and Maya will release the living entity from her clutches. Srila Prabhupada gave this example, classic example for this. Somebody knows? To explain this philosophical point that if one takes shelter of Krishna, then Maya releases.
Dog.
Yes, the dog's example. Who's in there? You, sir? Yeah, can you please explain?
Sometimes the world was a young dog. To open a gate, the dog will bark. Bow, bow, bow. The master will come, say, Tommy, come here, and immediately the dog will release the person, supposed to enter into the room. So Prabhupada says like that, the devotees are, Maya is like dog, Krishna is like the master of the dog.
Yes.
Krishna orders, Maya will release.
Yes, that's right. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is writing here. In the second paragraph of this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, a man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be held by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. And then further down, he says, Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order, so he orders this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. And he orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of his paternal affection for the living entity who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Okay, fine. So now we are going ahead. Okay, so we finished the first three sections. We are going to the next section, 15 to 19, and that is four kinds of impious persons who do not surrender to Krishna and four kinds of pious persons who surrender. Okay, so what's the connection between the previous section and this section is this. So, any doubts? Do you have some doubts there? The fifth one is Atma Nikshepa. Above that is Goptritve Varnam. Yeah. Okay, so the connection between the previous section and this section is, so if this is so simple, if you want to get liberated from the influence of the illusory energy, all what you have to do is surrender to Krishna. Then why doesn't everyone surrender? And the answer is verse number 15. Let's recite. Namam dushkrita no mudha prapadyante naradhama maya krita jnana asuram bhavam ashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Prabhupada raises that question in his purport also, the fourth line. How is it that educated philosophers, scientists, businessmen, administrators and all the leaders of ordinary men do not surrender to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the all-powerful personality of Godhead? So there are these four types of dushkritinaha. So what is the meaning of dushkritinaha? Prabhupada explains that in his third paragraph. He says the atheistic plan makers are described herein by the word dushkritina or miscreants. Kriti means one who has performed meritorious work. The atheistic plan maker is sometimes very intelligent, meritorious also. Further down he says, but because the atheist brain is improperly utilized in opposing the plan of the Supreme Lord, the atheistic plan maker is called Dushkriti, which indicates that his intelligence and efforts are misdirected. Okay, so that's the meaning of Dushkritinaha. And so these four types of Dushkritinaha, one is Mudha. So Prabhupada gives a very detailed explanation for each one of them. You can read it yourself, but I'll just highlight a few important points. Mudha, essentially, as Prabhupada says, those who are grossly foolish, like hard-working beasts of burden. The typical example of the beast of burden is the ass. And Prabhupada is giving a whole description about the ass's lifestyle. Okay? And he's comparing that to the human beings who act like asses. And so essentially he says that this is the position of the end of that paragraph describing the Mudha. This is the position of the foolish fruitive worker who does not know for whom he should work. He does not know that karma, action, is meant for yajna, sacrifice. Okay, so basically the Mudha refers to the fruitive worker who simply works just for sense enjoyment, but not for yajna, not for religion. Okay, that is the Mudha. Now, the second one is Naradhama, or the lowest of mankind. So what's the definition? You'll find it a little below that. So he says, those who are socially and politically developed but who have no religious principles must be considered Naradhamas. Did you find that? Yes? Those who are socially and politically developed but who have no religious principles must be considered Naradhama. Okay, so they have some sort of social life, political life, they may be big politicians and maybe even social workers and things like that, but they do not follow religious principles. So they are called as Naradhanas. And Prabhupada writes further down, 99.9% of the population is Naradhana. Why? Because nobody is following religious principles. Essentially Prabhupada writes about the 10 sanskaras. So nobody is performing sanskaras these days. So they're all Naradhanas. And he says the typical Naradhanas are Jagai and Madhai. Okay, that's the example for Naradhama. And so, just like Jagai and Madhai were delivered by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so similarly, so Prabhupada writes to the Naradhama, who is condemned by the personality of Godhead, can again revive his spiritual consciousness only by the mercy of a devotee. Only by the mercy of devotee, the Naradhamas can be delivered. And yeah, and essentially, further down Prabhupada says, the lowest amongst human beings can be delivered by the submissive hearing process only. Right? So, yes, they can be delivered by devotional service. The most important aspect of that is hearing. Next is, yes?
The same question yesterday, also today it came, the hearing process. Hmm. What is actually the step? Because the shloka was there, like that was the stages.
Hmm.
From 16 to 21. Hmm. What's the process to be followed, like the hearing process, what it means? Like, just to hear only chanting and Bhagavatam?
Yes, hearing is hearing. Hearing Krishna now, Krishna Katha. There's nothing more complicated about that. That's it, hearing is hearing. But what is important is the quality of hearing. And so therefore Prabhupada always says submissive hearing. So submissive hearing means we are not hearing simply for entertainment. Very interestingly, further down in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, one of the purpose, I don't remember exactly which verse, Prabhupada writes, one should not simply hear like the hogs. Just imagine that. Suppose a hog or a dog were to sit in this class. Would he hear or not hear? He has ears. And as long as the ears are not deaf, definitely the sound vibration will enter those ears. But what happens after ears?
Nothing.
Yes, nothing happens. He remains the same. That is what it means. Do not hear like the hawk. That means after we hear, there must be some
change,
some transformation. That's most important. And therefore, in the steps of gaining knowledge, there is Shravanam. What's the next? I don't know if this was discussed. Shravanam, Mananam. Next is Nididhyasanam. So after hearing, what one does is most important.
Contemplation.
Yes, after one hears, one should contemplate. And if one contemplates, then what one will do?
Apply.
That's right. Thank you. Then there will be transformation. So what one does after the hearing, that's important. So yes, it is the simple process of hearing, but it doesn't stop at that. The process has to be complete. And that's why Prabhupada often uses this phrase, submissive hearing or submissive oral reception. One has to submit to the hearing process, means receive that knowledge and apply it. Then there will be transformation. That was a spontaneous hand raise.
No question. What is the name of this book? Where can I find it?
Okay, you mean those three steps? I don't know if you want to write it down. I don't know if that's the... You want to write? Fine. So, I don't know if there's... there's definitely a reference. I don't remember that reference exactly now. It's one of the Shastras. I don't remember exactly which. If you want, I'll let you know. Yeah, one of the Shastras. Yeah, I don't remember which one. Yeah, sana. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Okay, fine. So, that's about here. So, Ruchi Tarushu, hope that's okay.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Okay, so that's about Naradhama. The third class is Maya Aparita Jnana. Or those persons whose erudite knowledge has been nullified by the influence of the illusory material energy. So there's a lot of knowledge, but it's misdirected, like the great philosophers, poets, literary scientists. Illusory energy misguides them, and therefore they disobey the Supreme Lord. So that's Maya Aparita Jnana. And the fourth one is Asuram Bhavam Ashrita, or those of demoniac principles. This class is openly atheistic. Okay, so they're envious of the Supreme Lord. They say God never descended, or God is dead, or whatever. Right? They're openly atheistic. So these four kinds of people, they do not surrender to the Supreme Lord. Okay, so it's not very clear out here. I don't know if you can make out something.
Okay.
Anyway, they're sort of cartoons which... No, it's okay. They're sort of cartoons which indicate these four. You can see the first one? Yeah, that's like an ass.
It's clear on your computer.
Huh?
It's clear on your computer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's not so clear here. So this is like a person who's like an ass, so that's the mudha. And this one is actually showing, you know, like a scientist who's doing an experiment. Right? So this refers to the Maya Aparita Jnana. And this is like some social political leader. You know, he has his big ass and so on. So this refers to Naradhama. And here there's somebody who's writing, God is dead. Right, so the fourth one, Asram Bhava Mashrita, openly atheistic. Okay, so the next question is, so who are the ones who surrender to the Lord? Text 16. Chaturveda bhajante maam jana sukritana arjana artho jignyasur artasi jnani charabardarshava. O best among the bhantas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desire of wealth, inquisitive, he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. So these four kinds. So, artho means distress, those who are in distress. Which are the classic examples for those who are in distress who approach the Supreme Lord?
Gajendra.
Yes, Gajendra. There's also one other example which is given, that is the kings who were captured by Jarasandha. Right, they were also in distress and they were actually praying to the Lord. But the classic example is Gajendra. Arthati, looking for wealth.
Dhruva.
Jignyasu, inquisitive. Yes, the sages of Naimisharanya and the Jnani. Yes, the four Kumaras and Shukdev Goswami. These are the examples of the four. Right? So these are something which you must know. I think this was already discussed in the Nectar of Devotion also, I suppose.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Okay, so that makes things easier. Okay. But all of these, as Prabhupada writes in the second paragraph of his purport, they become completely purified by the association of pure devotees. Then they also become pure devotees when they get the association of pure devotees. Okay. I'd just like to read a few important sentences from this commentary of Vishwanathapura Thakura on the verse. So he's describing all the four. And okay, this is some technical stuff actually. I don't think so, even if you don't know. So basically, what we are talking about here, now these four categories, artho, artharthi and jignyasu, all these three, they are called as, so this is basically, as we said yesterday, Krishna is first of all speaking about mixed devotional service. So these three categories, that is artho, artharthi, jignyasu, all these three are karma mishra bhakti, right, there is some fruit of mentality. They want some fruits. So all these three refer to karma mishra bhakti. And the fourth one, the jnani, refers to jnana mishra bhakti. Okay? So these four types of mixed devotion, they are also called as pradani bhuta bhakti. Okay? Mixed devotional service, the technical term for mixed devotional service is pradani bhuta bhakti. Means what is pradhan is bhakti. Bhakti is the principal component. But there is a mixture. There is a contamination of something. It could be either karma or jnana. Okay? So karma refers to some fruitive mentality. So in both the artho, artharthi and the jignyasu, there is some fruitive mentality. Right? The artho wants to come out of his distress. The arthati wants wealth, and the jigyasu, he wants knowledge, right? So therefore he's inquisitive. So that's how it's karma mishra bhakti. And the jnani, there is some contamination of jnana. It's a very small contamination, as we were discussing. It's a very small contamination of a desire for liberation, just like the four kumaras. See, the four kumaras, they had full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the personal form of the Lord. They perfectly knew that. They perfectly knew the beautiful Supreme Form of the Lord. But at the same time, they had some attraction to impersonal Brahman. That was the contamination. Okay? So though they know the personal form of the Lord, they know everything, but still, deep within the heart, they have some attraction to the impersonal Brahman. Okay, that applies to both the four Kumaras as well as Shukadeva Goswami before they came in contact with the devotees of the Lord. So that's the jnani. So that's the small contamination which is there. And that is why they call it jnana mishra bhaktas. Okay, so the fourth type is jnana mishra bhakti, and later in the book there will be yoga mishra bhakti also mentioned. Okay, that's for the next. Okay, but Kevala Bhakti has been mentioned yesterday, we discussed in 7.1, Maya Asakta Manapartha, that's referring to Kevala Bhakti. And then you'll find Kevala Bhakti, that's Shuddha Bhakti, also mentioned 8.14, 9.13, 9.22, which we'll be discussing later. Okay, so now the 17th verse, among these four types, who is the best? So Krishna says, of these, the one who is in full knowledge, the 17th verse, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best. For I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. So while he is very dear, Prabhupada explains in his purport, third line, but out of them, he who is in knowledge of the absolute truth and free from all material desires becomes a really pure devotee of the Lord. So basically this person, the jnani, as we just discussed about the four kumaras, he has knowledge about the absolute truth, that's one, and second is, he has no material desires. That is why he is dear to the Lord. Okay, so similar points being mentioned over here by Vishnu Shuktakur. So here it's being mentioned, but does the jnani just worship you out of fear, that is, jnana will be ineffective without bhakti? We just mentioned the point that how jnana also is ineffective without bhakti. So is he doing bhakti just because he wants perfection of jnana? Is that the reason? He says no. He has a predominance of bhakti, eka bhakti, not like other jnanis who have predominance of jnana. Or the meaning can be, he has great attachment to the process of bhakti alone and is a jnani in name only. So he says to that extent, that is a jnani in name only. I, in the form of Shamsundar, and am exceedingly dear to such a jnani, he cannot give up either in the stage of sadhana or perfection. I also hold him very dear. This is according to the reasoning that I respond to the devotee in proportion to his amount of surrender. Yeya tam prapadyante. So basically the jnani is very dear to the Lord for these two reasons, because he has knowledge about the Supreme Lord and he does not have material desires. These are two reasons why he is very dear to the Lord. This is Srila Prabhupada's lecture. Can somebody please read this?
He is distressed, but at the same time he is foolish. Why he is foolish? Because he does not know that God is with me within my heart. He is sitting along with me. The soul and the super soul, both of them are sitting together. And God knows everything about me. So I do not require to pray from God to get me out of this distress. He knows everything. Why shall I pray? He leaves everything to God. He prays to glorify the God. How great you are, not for his personal interest.
Continue.
O God, give me my bread, give me my dress, give me my shelter. Therefore one who is a pure devotee, he does not pray to God for any personal interest. Even if he is distressed, he says, O Lord, it's your kindness. You have put me in distress just to rectify me. I would have been put into it more and more. 1,000 times in distress, but you are giving me little. That's all. That is your great mercy. That is his vision. He is not disturbed.
Good.
A person who is in Krishna consciousness, he doesn't care for all this material distress or insult or honor, because he is aloof from this. He knows very well that this designation, this honor, or this insult, they are pertaining to my body, but I am not this body. One who is completely conversant with Krishna side, he knows very well, I am not this body, I am part and parcel of Krishna. My eternal relation is with Krishna.
Right, so that's how the pure devotee doesn't desire anything from the Lord. Okay, now the 18th verse, says, we'll just come to this section. Unara sarva evete jnani tva atmeva me matam astita sahi yuktatma mam eva nuttamam gatim. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who situated the knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me the highest and the most perfect goal. So Krishna is saying all of them are udhara, magnanimous. Why they are called magnanimous? Because they are coming to him. They are coming to the Lord. They could have gone to the demigods. They could have gone anywhere else. But because they are coming to him, Krishna is calling them as udhara, magnanimous souls. But out of them, the jnani is considered to be the best. And he is saying he is, I consider to be just like my own self. Now, the acharyas in the commentaries, they quote this verse to differentiate this jnani here, who is a jnanamishra bhakta, from the pure devotees. Well, this is about Socrates. He also understood the difference between body and soul. This is knowledge in the mode of goodness. Anyway, so this is the verse they quote. Na tadā me priyatama ātmano yoni na shankaraha na cha shankarshano na shri naivātma cha yathā bhavān. Here Krishna is telling Uddhava, in the 11th canto, he says, my dear Uddhav, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Shankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self is as dear to me as you are. So you see the difference? So what Krishna is speaking about, the jnani or the jnanamishra bhakta, he says, he is just like my own self. But about his pure devotee, he is saying, he's saying that even my own self is not as dear to me as you are. That means here Krishna is considering his pure devotee more dear to him than his own self. A subtle difference. You see that? As far as the jnani is concerned, the jnani is also very dear to the Lord. The jnanamishra bhakta. But Krishna is saying he is as dear to me as my own self. Krishna is saying the pure devotee is more dear to me than my own self. So that's a slight difference between the pure devotee and the jnanamishra bhakti, who is also very dear to the Lord. Hope that's clear?
Yeah.
And here there's a quote from the Sisi where Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. That's what the Lord thinks when a devotee has material desires. He says, why should I fulfill his material desires? He's foolish. But I'm not foolish. I'm intelligent. I want to fulfill his material desires. I will make him forget those material desires by giving him the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet. Okay, this is a verse which is how different people approach the Supreme Lord. Okay, before we go to that, just the last verse of the section is the 19th verse. Let's recite this famous verse. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan ma prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me. Knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. So even for such a jnani to come to that platform of total understanding, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, it takes many, many lifetimes. So that understanding, that realization, not just a theoretical understanding, but a realization of Vasudeva Sarvamiti, actually takes many, many births. That's the glory, that's the rarity of devotional service. So all these four categories of people who come to the Lord with material desires, they are all glorious because by practice, by association of devotee, they all can come to the platform of pure devotional service. Okay, so we have 5 minutes before the break, and we can do a small exercise, a fair exercise. Basically, instead of reading this whole thing, basically what is the exercise about is this. So you discuss with your partner, what were your motives when you came to Krishna consciousness? What are your motives now? And what do you aspire in the future? Okay? Question clear? Question clear? Okay, so just turn to your partners for the next 5 minutes and just discuss this point. Okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. So okay, so I think there is enough time. If you want to continue discussions, you can definitely continue them in the break. So, but the important point is, yes, we may have different desires when it came to Krishna consciousness, but what is important is that the only thing which actually makes a difference which makes all the difference to our spiritual progress is changing the quality of desire. That's the only thing that makes the difference. So it's very important to note this point and accordingly make changes in our desires which are conducive for spiritual progress. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we take a 10 minutes break, kindly come back at 12:10. Hare Krishna.